NFR Extra is a podcast dedicated to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo and features icons and personalities that embody the Western lifestyle.
You always just take the hand you're given, and you know, we... Every day is a challenge, and we don't necessarily get to pick those days or pick those challenges. And so it was really a perfect storm came together, and I think that we really made the best out of the hand that we were dealt. But they did find us, and they like what we had to offer. They like what we stand for. We're a conservative group. We stand for the values that we believe in. I don't think there's a rodeo in the world that doesn't open with a prayer and the national anthem. My hope and my goal is to leave the sport in a better place than I found it for the next guy that sits in this chair.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Godert, and you're listening to the NFR Extra.
Well, I feel like we need some sort of presidential music or something with some pomp and circumstance as we welcome in today's guest on NFR Extra. We are pleased to steal just a little bit of time from the man who leads the charge in the PRCA, Mr. Tom Glaus. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm excited to see you guys and happy to be on your podcast this morning.
Well, we appreciate you sharing time with us. So, take us back to your days in working for Wyoming governors. Do you feel like that experience and what you learned there helped you in the position you're in today?
Oh, absolutely. Most people probably don't realize this, but I applied for the CEO position way back when, probably when Carl was hired, and Thought as a young attorney and a cowboy that had rodeoed that I had a good grasp on life and rodeo and what we needed to do. But certainly going to work at the state, Governor Mead first appointed me to the State Board of Equalization, which is the tax court for the state of Wyoming. All disputes with the Department of Revenue originate in front of the State Board of Equalization. And that really exposed me to a lot of big business. In Wyoming, it's generally the extraction industry, oil and gas mining, coal trona, the pay the taxes. So we got to see a lot of cases with a lot of big business and just got exposed to big business. It really gave me a more worldly view of business. And then Governor Mead's second term, he appointed me insurance commissioner. And as insurance commissioner, you learn a lot about regulation. And a lot of people say, you know, well, it seems like you got a great experience, except the last job you had as insurance commissioner. And I say, well, that probably prepped me better than anything for this job, because you're regulating insurance companies here. We're regulating rodeos, regulating cowboys. And there's certainly a large crossover that gave me a lot of great experience. Also experience with budgeting with big numbers. So it was really a good prelude for this job.
What was the draw for wanting the position that you have with the PRCA? I mean, that's something that it looks in being in the industry, I think that there's a lot of scrutiny which would play well into your hand for your previous experience on the political side. But it's not something that it's like, man, you're well loved and everybody, you know, I mean, you're in a position to where you're going to be a mediator for a lot of hot topics and issues and not always a fan favorite. So why did you want to take that position on?
Oh, it's always been a dream of mine. I'm not sure why going to law school, being the commissioner of the PRCA. Rodeo really give everything to me and my family. I was able to go to college because of rodeo. I went to Casper College initially on a rodeo scholarship and then transferred to the University of Wyoming and rodeoed at the university as a scholarship athlete. Because of rodeo, I was able to go to law school. Had I had to find other means to finance college, I probably wouldn't have ever been able to go to law school. We just grew up with the sport in the Sand Hills of Nebraska. It's really cowboy country, and there's probably not much there besides cowboys. My uncle was a great cowboy, was credited with being the first person to get off on the right-hand side in the calf roping. So it runs really deep in our family. And then my son continued that tradition. He had a very successful career, made the NFR four times. So it's just something that we've been involved in. And I always had a desire to be at the highest level, to be involved in the sport and hopefully promote it and raise the bar for the next generation.
And now it's a full circle, has it not? Because he's coaching at UW.
He is now the coach at UW. He was coach at Laramie Community College for 4 or 5 years. And then this past year, he was hired as a head coach at University of Wyoming in Laramie. So it has come full circle.
That's pretty incredible that multi-generational rodeo and cowboy side can get passed down, especially in this day and age to where it seems, you know, going back to the scrutiny of this deal, to where it's getting harder and harder to be a rancher, to be a cowboy. You know, it seems like those circles are getting tighter. But the caveat to that, too, is it seems like now in 2024 that there's more interest over the last few years for the rodeo, for the ranching, for the outdoor side, for hunting. What in the world in this day of modern technology do you think the draw is for people to have such an enticement to be a part of rodeo now?
You know, first it's probably, you know, the original extreme sport. It's an adrenaline rush. You know, anytime you're climbing on the back of a bull or a bronc, there's an adrenaline rush going on. And you know, when you make a great ride, whether it's 80 points or 90 points, it's a natural high. And it's the same in the timed events. When you make a 4-second team roping run, when you're 7 seconds in the tie down roping, there's no other feeling like it. The closest I've ever had to that feeling is as a practicing lawyer. You know, you're waiting that moment when the jury announces their verdict. And as a criminal defense attorney, you're never really expected to win. And if you hear a not guilty verdict, there's just this immediate internal high. And it don't happen very often, but when it does, it's exciting. All your hard work and comes to fruition and pays off. And it's a lot like rodeo. And, you know, you don't make 90 point rides very often. You don't make 7 second tie down rope and runs every day. But when you do, there's no feeling like it. There's no natural high. But to get back to your question, you know, the Western industry is really on a roll. We're riding the curve of a wave, and it's cool to be cowboy again. Right. I give a lot of credit to our young athletes. You know, Rocker Steiner has a huge following. T. Parker now in the bull riding out of Winnie, Texas. He's got a huge following, and it's suddenly cool to be cowboy again, and everybody wants to be like that. And you know, T, there's a kid that didn't grow up on a ranch, didn't grow up as a cowboy. He just wanted the extreme sport experience.
I would say that all of us would agree that timing is everything. But the timing for you to step into this position, you were handed a lot following everything that went down in 2020. But what do you think it is that has sparked the growth after the pandemic to where we are now?
I think there's a lot of things. You know, you always just take the hand you're given, and you know, we every day is a challenge, and we don't necessarily get a pick those days or pick those challenges, but it's really been a blessing in terms of timing, and I give credit to a number of things, the Cowboy Channel being one of them. In 2019, we inked a deal with Patrick for the Cowboy Channel. We started getting a lot more exposure, and then the pandemic hit, and a lot of our big rodeos in the urban areas weren't able to happen, and we had to improvise, and so we started televising a lot more of the smaller rodeos because they were in rural areas and they were more inclined and capable of happening during the pandemic. What we discovered is there was this huge appetite and demand to watch rodeos. We didn't necessarily start out thinking we were going to televise all of these rodeos. Taylor Sheridan gets a lot of credit. Yellowstone was just a hugely popular program, and people loved it. And they like to be associated with the Western way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of moving parts that just came together. And the pandemic in of itself really proved to be more of an opportunity rather than a hindrance for us with people wanting to get out of the urban and suburban areas and find a more rural lifestyle. And so it was really a perfect storm came together, and I think that we really made the best out of the hand that we were dealt.
Let's take a quick pause, and we'll be right back. The Wrangler National Finals Rodeo returns to Las Vegas, and that can only mean one thing. The Cowboy Channel Cowboy Christmas. It's the ultimate shopping and entertainment experience at the Las Vegas Convention Center, Central and South Halls. There's nonstop entertainment on the Ariat Rodeo Live Stage, the Yeti Junior World Finals, endless contestant autograph sessions, and so much more. There's something for everyone in Las Vegas. The Cowboy Channel Cowboy Christmas. It's all here.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, as you're talking about that, Tom, it's kind of one of those deals where you go back to where, you know, the hard times and hard men and soft times and the softer community. But you look at, I think that when you turn up the heat, what we saw during the pandemic to where I feel like us as a nation, we were kind of cruising through a very easy time. And that was a shockwave that hit the entire nation. And I think it almost kind of rattled the cage for, you know, for people to kind of start gathering strength. And, you know, again, a lot of the things that you're saying, it's like the appeal of the extreme sport of what it takes to get on a bucking horse or a bucking bull or to, you know, tie a calf or whatever is it almost like stimulated something inside of people like, man, that's where it's at. You know, so kind of what you're saying there, it's like it wasn't necessarily, man, this is bad all the way through, but it really kind of shook it up to where like rodeo was a very, very popular thing. All of a sudden it's like these guys are doing the real deal. Like this is a real thing. And the access to it with the Cowboy Channel and everything, you see it on TV. And then, you know, as soon as it opens up, let's go to a rodeo. Let's go see this in real life. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said on that side.
It really just all came together. And rodeo's always been a great sport. Rodeo was in a great place prior to the pandemic, but it certainly allowed us to showcase. You know, there was no sports on TV. We've kind of all forgot that now. The basketball's back on, football's back on. During the pandemic, there were no sports on TV, and here's the PRCA and the Cowboy Channel bucking the system and putting content out there. And so a lot of people that hadn't been exposed to rodeo found us for maybe because there was nothing else on TV, but they did find us and they liked what we had to offer. They like what we stand for. We're a conservative group. We stand for the values that we believe in. I don't think there's a rodeo in the world that doesn't open with a prayer and the national anthem. You never see anyone protesting the national anthem or taking a knee at a rodeo. And people love it. People were hungry for something different. And we were in the right spot at the right time, even though it didn't feel like it when we were going through it. But it certainly gave us the opportunity, and I think we took good advantage of that opportunity to elevate the sport. When I started with the PRCA in 2019, historically we paid out about $50 million after the NFR. Last year we were just shy of $75 million. $4.5 million was our total payout. So we've seen a 50% growth in payout, and it will be even better this year.
Speaking of the NFR, talk to us a little bit about that extension. I mean, you know, there were rumors before it started that it may happen, but what we don't get to sit in that boardroom. So just kind of take us through what went into making that happen.
Well, we had always planned. It had been one of my SMART goals, and then it was part of our balanced scorecard to secure an extension of the NFR prior to being appointed CEO in 2021. George, my predecessor, had already started those conversations on extending the NFR. So it was exciting, challenging to be a part of those discussions with LVE, LVCVA to bring it to fruition and secure our place in Las Vegas and the Thomas and Mack for the next 12 years. So, you know, I think we were very fortunate to be able to announce the extension 2 years ahead of time. I'm excited. We're working on the finalizing the contract here. We're down to a few details that we need to get hammered out, but I'm excited for when we can announce terms of that contract. And I think everybody will be excited to see how rodeo is going to grow through the NFR.
Outside of the NFR, what other big initiatives are you working on for the sport as a whole?
One of our initiatives has to grow the membership. When I was director of rodeo admin, that was one of my charges, was to grow membership. 2019, we were really happy that we had started to right the ship. First time in 10 years that we had seen a positive growth in membership. And it wasn't very much, but at least it was, we hadn't lost membership. And there were no bells or sirens or alarms going off. You don't think a lot about losing 2% membership, 3% membership, but over 10 to 15 years, if you lose 2% a year, your membership suddenly down 30%. So
right, yeah,
that's really where we were at. And so in 2019, I was excited that I thought we'd started to right the ship. We grew the membership probably by less than 100 members, but it was still movement in the right direction. Felt like we'd stopped the bleeding. Then 2020, the pandemic hit, and like all sports, we seen our membership take a nosedive. So we've had a real initiative to grow the membership. And what's exciting is, you know, last year we exceeded 2019 numbers. We were at 6,300 for membership in 2019. Last year we were at 6,600, and we're tracking or trending a couple hundred members ahead of what we were last year. So we've set the goal at 7,000 members for 2024, and I think we're going to be close to hitting those numbers. We also have to create new initiatives and new events to attract new members. And some of the things that we've done is a rookie roundup. Seemed like a no-brainer when somebody come and said, you know, what do you think about a rookie roundup? And it's like, wow, why haven't we been doing this previously? And
sure,
permit finals. Those were some initiatives that we used to grow new members. And that's really what I'm excited about is our membership. We're growing it on the front end with new members, and our permit numbers are as high as they've ever been. Each year we keep setting a new record of permit holders. This year we'll probably exceed 2,000 permit holders. And there's always a certain number of those that become rookies, and then there's potential to keep them for 10 years or longer as a member. So it took us a while to figure out to concentrate on the new members, but certainly the rookie roundup and the permit finals were good initiatives. Some of the other more out-of-the-box things we did were creating a scholarship program for athletes where we need entries in the bareback riding and saddle bronc riding, that we offer a $1,000 scholarship that can only be used for entry fees. So some of these younger kids that think they might have the talent but not the finances to go to the professional rodeos, it gives them an opportunity to test their skills. And we actually last year seen the first of those scholarship recipients make the NFR. So that was exciting.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Jake O'Roper was one of the first ones to have gotten a scholarship.
I think that's awesome that you guys are thinking outside the box, because the next generation is what it's going to take to be the lifeblood of our sport and keep everything moving forward. And Tom, we appreciate you making the time for us, and we look forward to seeing what the future holds for both the PRCA and everything that happens at the NFR in Vegas.
Well, thank you. And, you know, my hope and my goal is to leave the sport in a better place than I found it for the next guy that sits in this chair.
Well, we appreciate everything you do, and we'll see you when December comes back around.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Tom. Take care. Yes, sir.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Want to experience more of the NFR? Then visit nfrexperience.com. And we invite you to subscribe to NFR Extra on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever you're listening right now. If you like what you've heard on NFR Extra, we would love it if you gave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe.